Listening to 90.1 FM KZFR in Chico, and this is North State Give and Take, where I air pre-recorded interviews with local nonprofits. Today we're going to hear from Beth Parsons and Brooke Wells from Youth for Change. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, thanks for showing up. Anyway, I'm just going to open it up to both of you to give me a little overview about Youth for Change, how long it's been here, who does it serve, and how does it do it?
So Youth for Change was established in 1991, so we're so excited. This is our 30th anniversary this year. So we're very happy to be celebrating that. We wish it could be a little bit more in person, but we hopefully will have some in-person activities later in the year. But we were founded actually with serving kiddos in group homes that weren't able to stay in their own homes. So they had to have out-of-home care. And we had started out with a couple, and then we built up to four. And then from there, the agency has really just lived up to its mission, which is serving individuals, families, and their community. So our focus is really on youth and family and their care. We do flex and change over the years to meet the community needs. And from those two group homes, we've grown into an agency, but we're a private nonprofit, public benefit, serving Butte, Sutter, Yuba, Shasta, and a few of the other surrounding counties. So the four counties are where most of our services. We do serve Colusa, Glenn, a little bit in Tehama. So the North State is where we're located. We're so happy to have grown. We have 179 employees serving our youth out in the area. And we are community-based services. So a lot of times you can come to our building and find very few people here, even though we have so many employees, because they're all out in homes or parks. We have a wonderful outdoors program. So they might be out camping or hiking, rock climbing. We even do whitewater rafting, fishing. Just getting the kids outside and working on whatever their goals are to meet their goal plan and helping them to be able to stay with their family. That really is the goal, is to keep families together. So we have a mental health and social services programs. And today, Brooke Wells is here to tell us about foster care. Foster care, especially in our area, the past few years, you know, especially Butte County, of course, the whole world in the North State has been affected by multiple disasters. So trauma has really increased, and it has affected our foster families and our ability to place and serve youth. So we really do need more foster families. And the reason for that is, you know, in the campfire, we lost so many homes. Our roots are in Paradise. That's where our homes, quite a few of them were. You know, and the campfire greatly affected us as an agency and our families. And so we really need to grow that space back. But with the loss of homes and then a second year of fires and then COVID, and I think there was a flood in between, you know, it's been very difficult for this area to be able to recover and to be able to open their homes and their hearts to additional youth. So we're really hoping that as COVID, you know, starts to be a little bit better under control and maybe schools that get back in session, that people will consider doing that again. And so, Brooke, if you want to tell more about the program specifically.
I had one question. How does one find you or be referred to you? How do you get the kids that you're going to work with?
Well, I mean, for the majority of our programs, they come through Butte County Behavioral Health, Sutter Yuba Behavioral Health, Children's Services. So a lot of our referrals do come through the county, but we do have a Sixth Street Center drop-in for homeless and runaway youth. that if youth, you know, find themselves in that position, they can drop in and get assistance with school, showers, laundry, meals.
And that's there in Chico, isn't it, on 6th?
Yes, that's in Chico. But the majority of our referrals do come through the different county agencies.
All right, Brooke, and about foster care.
All right. So Butte County, first of all, foster care is one of the oldest running programs at Youth for Change. So we came along shortly after the group homes to meet the needs of youth who were no longer needed to be in group home placement, but also still needed a safe and stable family environment. So we provide foster homes within the four counties that Beth talked about earlier, I guess with the exception of Shasta, but we have foster homes in all of surrounding counties around Butte. Butte County currently has just about 500 youth in out-of-home placement. So 500 Butte County youth are living in either a foster home or with a family member or somebody else right now. And about 40% of those kids are in a foster family agency such as ours. So we really work with community families who are interested in providing that stable, hopefully short-term, safe environment for youth to be in while their birth families take care of their whatever they need to take care of so that those kids can come back safely to their own homes. So we have foster parents. We provide care for kids aged 0 to 21 in foster homes. And then we also provide transitional housing programs for youth 18 to 24 who have been in foster care before or currently are. And so we help them find their own apartments and they get a monthly stipend. We teach them budgeting, how to pay off debt or not start getting debt, preferably, and build up their credit history, stock their apartments, and then, you know, provide in a way a lot of parenting along the way for those young people who are just starting out on their own. The average age of youth, last I heard, that stopped coming back to their families for support was age 26. And so we are able to do that for youth up to age of 24. So that's exciting. Our foster families can be either a short-term respite home, which means they provide a break for other families. Maybe that couple just needs, you know, to get away for the weekend. A lot of our families have full houses. So we have many of our foster families have 5 to 6 kids in the home. And so as you can imagine, with all of the running around, especially this year with part-time school here, part-time school there, you know, we really like to try to give families a break when we can. So we do have families that are just there to give a break and give other people, you know, that time away. We have families who are coming into it who would like to start their family that way. So they'd like to adopt if for some reason the child's not able to return home. We have foster families who do this with the sole intention of reunifying children with their families. And they make connections with those birth parents and they want to be there for the long run so that if they need a supportive person later, they can call them after their kids are home and say, help, I'm not sure how to handle this situation or I'm feeling overwhelmed. So yeah, we have intensive services foster care. So those are for youth who aren't quite ready to go to a group home, but maybe they're really struggling with some emotional or behavioral issues and they need just that extra bit of support in a foster home. So then we also are able to provide that. And that includes increased therapy, increased behavioral health supports, just more people involved to assist that kid in becoming stable. So one of the things that Youth for Change as an agency has is a clinical team. And so we are a foster family agency that when our youth are placed in one of our homes, we can connect them with a clinician pretty quickly. And that clinician then can also refer them to our psychiatrist so that we're sort of at one in-house team to really help stabilize these young people and keep them on the right path to going home and being successful.
Well, and how hard is it to be a foster parent? I mean, to apply and to be accepted and all of that process?
So it takes about 3 months. So it's fingerprinting. There's classes. There's 21 hours of trainings that families have to take, first aid and CPR. And then we do what's called a family evaluation or a home study. And we have to meet with that family for a minimum of 6 hours, just really getting to know them, what their history is, you know, what their parenting style is, what they see their future being like with foster children. It's definitely a lifestyle change. And so we want to make sure people are really aware of that. Sometimes I think people come into it thinking of it as a job, and it is a job. It's a hard job. It's a rewarding job, but it's also not an 8-to-5 job, just as parenting isn't. And so we really want to make sure people understand that this is a lifestyle. So we really spend some time getting to know you as a family and giving them an opportunity to get to know us as an agency. Mm-hmm. And then we write a family evaluation, and everybody reads it and agrees to it. And the writing of that actually is pretty extensive itself. So those can take up to 40 hours just to write. We do a lot of, we call it mitigating. So if they've got some history of, you know, maybe they suffered abuse themselves or neglect themselves, or they were in care or what have you, we really want to talk to them about, how did you come out to the other end? You know, is there anything that's going to be triggering to you? Because you are working with children who are traumatized too sometimes. And so
sure,
I wouldn't say it's hard, unless you won't pass fingerprints, and then it's hard, but
sure.
It's not hard. It's just, but it is a time consuming process. Sure. And one we really try to, you know, be thoughtful with.
Sure. And is a foster parent compensated?
They are. And so it's compensation. I think that's the best word to describe it. Mm-hmm. It's not a way to make money for sure. It's very broken down. Like, this amount goes towards clothing and this amount's towards mm-hmm. extracurricular. And then of course the larger would be for just living expenses sure. when you're taking on an extra child.
Uh-huh.
And then you do have to have a big heart to be a foster parent.
It's got to
be a big heart.
Absolutely. Cause you are just giving your time really.
Yes.
It's not 8-to-5. I sometimes think about it as a retired person, and I go like, gee, that's a lot of time. That's a lifestyle change.
Yes. And we do have retired persons, quite a few of them. And then some of them, I mean, I had a former foster parent reach out to me just yesterday, actually, and just to check in and say hi. But she reminded me she's turning 80 this summer. And I was like, 80? I mean, it was, you know, maybe 12 years ago you had kids in care, and like she just kept plugging along. Like, it's okay to retire.
wow so. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, if you have a big heart, it's a great way to use it.
It is. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so many opportunities. It doesn't have to be that the child comes and lives with you long term. I mean, it really could be, I'm available, you know, Monday through Friday for a few hours an afternoon if this person needs a break, or I can help this foster parent with this on a weekend. So there are really other ways to contribute. And I would say, I mean, obviously we have a big need for families who can have kids in their home for months on end or whatever. But we also do have a need for families who are willing to provide respite.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they're all big needs. I can't say one's bigger than the other. But we do have some young adults aged 16 to 18 who qualify for our transitional housing program for minors. They have to live in a home or on the property, so like a grandmother unit or whatever, of a fingerprinted adult. And so we call those mentors or host families. And that is not as extensive parenting. It's, you're really mentoring this young adult to live on their own. And so it's a bit more of a hands-off approach. The social workers are involved, and you still have people coming to check in on that client, but we are paying that child, and that child is paying their rent and bills. So that is another need in this community, is we do have a number of youth under 18 who would really do well and better in that living situation, but we need mentors. So just another option for people who are looking to help in some way.
Yeah. And the space to have this kid have his own little space.
Yes. Yeah. And they have to have their own room. You know, they don't have to have their own bathroom, but sometimes that works out really well, like that mother-in-law unit, like I was talking on some of these properties.
That'd be the best, yeah.
Yeah, that just needs to be rented out.
But they're pretty free to do whatever they want, because they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on their own, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just ask mentors to, you know, notify us if they've got some concerns. Like, you know, I'm noticing a lot of people in and out of that mother-in-law unit midnight. Yeah. Might want to check into that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Or, and we ask, you're mentoring. So if, you know, you can like show them how to do laundry or help them cook a meal every now and then.
Uh-huh.
That's ideal, but it's not daily. It's not required. It's not, your curfew's 10 o'clock. It's,
yeah,
you're going to make some decisions and we're going to keep an eye on that and help you out.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Brooke Wells and Beth Parsons from Youth for Change. You are listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. My name's Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take. We'll take a little break here for a bit. We'll come back with more of our interview with Youth for Change. We'll get back to our interview with Youth for Change on 90.1 FM KZFR.
And then you have a lot of programs that they can participate in.
Yes.
I looked at that and I was surprised just how many things there are out there that they can hook up with. I saw the one, what was it? It's like a ropes course. Is that what that's
like? Our outdoors program runs a lot of those activities. We had a really awesome ropes course in Paradise. Unfortunately, that did not survive the fire.
Sure.
But that same group does things like fishing trips, whitewater rafting, rock climbing. You know, getting kids outdoors and connecting with nature is really healing in a lot of ways. Plus, there's all that teamwork.
And how many kids?
Well, agency-wide, I do not know. I think foster care itself currently has 52 that we're working with.
Agency-wide, we typically have over 800 kiddos in service during a year.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot.
Using different parts of it, like you said, different programs, but still living with their parents.
Yeah, between those two.
Yeah. And then this little thing that you have on 6th Street, it's between Broadway and Main. When is someone there? When can someone go there?
So that is a day center. And with COVID, there are doing a lot of appointments and outside items, but they open just in general from 10 to 5 for the kiddos to get meals and do showers and whatnot. Staff are there earlier to take care of other things that they need to do, and also if they do have appointments. And there are also housing programs out of 6th Street as well, where we have case managers that are, you know, taking some of the homeless youth that are ready to find their own place and work with them off of the COC list. And the homeless will find an apartment for them. They might share an apartment and each have their own bedroom so that they get those skills of living with another person and help get them that good start that will hopefully then they'll transition into their own place. They'll work on employment skills, education if they need it, all of the different skills that they need to be successful. And really the statistics show that if we can help the kiddos at that age, then it helps reduce the homeless later on in life, the homelessness. So that's really our aim, is to help get the kiddos off the street into housing and help them do that transition and get a good start.
Mm-hmm. And is that a drop-in? I mean, if the kid was around town and they heard about it, they could just stop in there?
Absolutely. Yes.
It also gives them a place to get their mail, so they can use the Sixth Street address, which, as you can imagine, when you're trying to get driver's licenses and social security cards and even letters to and from family, it's nice to be able to use that address.
And, sure. And how can the community, other than being a foster parent and donating, which is, of course, probably another great thing, how else can they help or be a part of it?
Yes. So you do have to go through fingerprinting, but different programs have different needs. Sixth Street has a lot of volunteers. And also, we have a couple of wonderful businesses that help as well. Om Foods has a program where you can actually, like maybe you're going there for lunch or getting your own food family, and maybe you just want to get an extra meal for the kids at Sixth Street. You can buy an extra meal, and then they do food for the kiddos on Friday, which is really important because we are closed over the weekend. So on Friday, they get a really nice meal from Om Foods. They get extra so that they have to last through the weekend. And they try and be really thoughtful about what that food is so that it will last, even if it's not refrigerated or whatever it happens to be. So sometimes it is difficult to volunteer in person, even not under COVID, because of that clinical piece that we're working on. And it is very private. As we open back up with COVID, we will be looking for more volunteer opportunities. People also help with furniture. Brooks talked a little bit about getting the kiddos started in their own place, even if it's, you know, and some of the kids from Sixth Street in the homeless center, you know, they just have a bedroom and then shared space, but all of those kids need furniture. So maybe you're cleaning out your home and you have a dresser that you don't need anymore that's still, you know, maybe not in perfect condition, but still very usable. Youth for Change needs all of those things routinely to help our kids in housing, because what we do then is when that kiddo is ready to move on, we have them keep that furniture so that they're all set up.
Is it obvious on the website how you would connect to give something or just connect with you? Or if someone has something, how do they know what to do with it?
Yeah, they can just call us here at Youth for Change, and it's 530-877-8187. And you can just let them know that you have a donation, and whoever answers the phone will get them connected to it.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have an office here in Chico? Does you right here?
Yes. So we have offices throughout the county. So like I said, our home was up in Paradise. So we did lose most of our offices up there, and the couple that were left were too big right now for our population there. So we're traveling to Paradise currently. We have an office here in Chico at 260 Cohasset Road. It's where Butte College used to be and where Core Butte Charter School. We're in that same space. Okay. We're so happy to have space again. Within 2 years, all kind of crammed together. All of Brooke's team was in one 10 by 10 office for 2 years after the fire. So she's super happy to have
I'm very happy.
It's just spread out.
Now, do you have a place that if someone does have something, is that where they bring it maybe after they speak with you?
Typically.
Most of the time, yes. Yeah, okay. The Cohasset location would be the best. We also have offices in Oroville on Olive Highway. And then we have offices in Marysville and Yuba City.
Okay. So once that phone call, 877-8187, that could get organized and figure out how to do it. And your website was good, which is, is it just youthforchange.org? And it's number 4?
Correct.
Yes. Youthforchange.org. And there is a place to donate there, but there's also the volunteer and the form to fill out if you want to volunteer. Is the process for the foster parenting a little more involved than just that volunteer form?
It is. And there is an application on the website to apply to be a foster parent. Yeah. It is helpful to me if the person also calls to let me know that they have completed that application online, just so that I can be keeping my eyes out for it in a quicker manner. And lots of times people have a lot of questions before they want to apply. And so we're happy to talk to them. And,
well, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Sit down and have coffee if that's what they'd like, or talk on the phone or whatnot, just to answer all of their questions before they submit the application.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Beth and Brooke. I every time I do this, I'm always surprised how much I learn about an organization that I've heard about. I think I know what it is, but there's always so much more.
And thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And I appreciate both of you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
We just heard a pre-recorded interview with Beth Parsons and Brooke Wells from Youth for Change. And that's youth with the number 4, change.org. If you've missed the interview or part of it and you'd like to let someone know about it, you can go to kzfr.org, hit on the Programs tab, go down to Tuesday, and you'll find North State Give and Take. And there it is, pre-recorded for you to listen to, as well as all the other interviews that I have done. North State Give and Take is on the air every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Thanks for listening to your community radio station. We've got so many great things to listen to, and we appreciate you tuning in. All right, I'll be back next week for North State Give and Take.